Hello, friends. Welcome to Through the Word and the Book of Ecclesiastes. Today, an introduction. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. The first time I saw the title Ecclesiastes, the name alone was enough to make me fall asleep in my church pew. So I came up with my own title for it: Bad Dates, Dead Monkeys, and the Epic Search for the Meaning of Life. I'll explain the dates and monkeys later. It's the search that really matters. Actually, title aside, this is one of the great philosophical works of all time. Plus, it's super relatable. It just gets real about life on this little planet of ours, which I appreciate. I want something real, especially considering the subject. So, what is the meaning of life anyway? Well, you might be surprised to find out that the answer is found right here in Ecclesiastes. In fact, Solomon opens with the answer at verse 1. The words of the teacher, son of David, king in Jerusalem. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. Oh, wait, hold up. Rewind the tape. That can't be the answer. That can't be in the Bible. But there it is. Everything is meaningless. Other translations say vanity or futility. The Hebrew word is hevel. It is used to describe something that's like a vapor or breath, something fleeting, here today and gone in a blink, like soap bubbles. And that's the word that Solomon uses to describe life. Well, at least the answer wasn't 42. Now, before you rip the page out of your Bible, give the man a chance to explain. We read the answer first, but the question comes in verse 3. The key is in the question. What do people gain from all their labors at which they toil under the sun? Two phrases here are essential to making sense of this whole book and to make sense of life. What do people gain and under the sun? The question at its core is simple. What do you gain from life? What do you get? When it's over, what do you keep that you didn't start with? Remember that word, gain. It's going to be important. The second phrase, however, is the real key to unlocking Ecclesiastes. What is gained under the sun? Solomon repeats that phrase throughout the book. He is not looking at life in the eternal sense. Heaven and hell do not enter into his calculations here. Now, Solomon does not say here that there is no heaven or hell, but for the sake of his ponderings, and for our sakes, so that we might see life for what it is, Ecclesiastes examines life under the sun, as if, hypothetically speaking, this earth and this life is all there is. You might say Solomon is asking the classic question, what if this is as good as it gets? Now, understanding that, we also see that Ecclesiastes does not deliver a complete message on its own. We need the rest of the Bible to give us the eternal perspective on life. But this is an essential what if. For those who have lost that eternal perspective, caught up with the here and now of everything under the sun, Ecclesiastes delivers a sobering reality check about life here on earth. After all, Solomon is the perfect example of a man who knew God but lost sight of him. His eyes got fixed on this side of eternity. Solomon was the king of Israel at the height of its power. God granted him wisdom beyond anything man had known before him. But take heed. There is no man so foolish as the one who has wisdom but fails to live by it. And that was Solomon. Solomon knew God, but he let wine and women, pleasure and power, distract him. He didn't so much walk away from God, he just drifted. His eyes and his heart got caught up in other things, and he allowed them to take the lead. Have you ever talked to someone who seems to know a lot about God, even knows more Bible than you do? But something is missing. They can quote verses and talk about church, but none of it seems personal. In Ecclesiastes, Solomon refers to God, but it is never personal. Not once does he use God's name or call God Father. At this point, Solomon is stuck under the sun, and God is just that creator somewhere out there. Hey, I get it. I remember when that was my perspective. Sometimes I can feel myself drifting back that way. Solomon is the ultimate case study of Jesus' words in Matthew 16. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. In other words, try to give your own life meaning and you'll come up empty. meaningless. So where does Jesus fit into all this? Well, there's a second half to that verse. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for Jesus will find it. Jesus also said, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Jesus showed up to give you a life with meaning, with real weight and substance. See, the Bible has an antonym for that word hebel. Remember, meaningless, vanity, soap bubbles. The opposite word is glory. The Hebrew word for glory is chabad. It literally means heavy or weighty, having substance that lasts. So vanity and glory are opposites. Jesus invites us to life with purpose, from glory to greater glory. But sometimes we lose sight of that, and we drift, get caught up in all the stuff that seems so important in this life. That's what Solomon did, got caught up in all that the world has to offer, all the stuff that in the moment seemed so glorious. But those glory days, they'll pass you by. Pretty soon, you'll find yourself sitting around, talking about the old times, or just singing old Springsteen songs. But Solomon's glory days were pretty good. I mean, the guy had it all. So, did it satisfy? Was it enough? Solomon says, it may feel like glory for a moment, but in the end, it's all chasing the wind. So why does he try so hard? What is it that drives us to want more? In chapter 3, Solomon says this, "What do workers gain from their toil? I have seen the burden that God has laid on the human race. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end." So there is something that drives us, a longing in our hearts for something eternal, for glory. We are wired to desire meaning, to want something that lasts. You and I are stuck with a God-shaped hole, and nothing under the sun will fill the void. So if Ecclesiastes doesn't have the answers, why read it? Why is it even in the Bible? Bad dates, dead monkeys. They're not in the book. It's an analogy. Do you remember the scene in Indiana Jones where Dr. Jones and Sala are talking and Indiana's tossing a piece of fruit in his hand? When he tosses it up to eat it, Sala grabs the fruit out of the air and points to a dead monkey next to the fruit bowl. And he says, "Bad dates." My point is, you are surrounded by dead monkeys, not literal monkeys. People who are living for all the fruit that the world has to offer, and it's all empty. Look around. Look at the people who have what you're chasing. Are the rich people happy? Are the famous content? And when the game is over and everything goes back in the box, what was gained? So join me, won't you? Let Solomon expose the world to see it as it is, in all its beauty and vanity. Along the way, we'll also get some profound and practical insights on life. Just great wisdom. You can read ahead today, and I'll meet you back here in Chapter 1.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Start your own journey through the Bible with our web and mobile apps at throughtheword.org. Our apps are free, so tell a friend. We're listener-supported, so thanks for giving. Chris Langham is the founder of Through the Word Ministries and pastor of Refuge Long Beach in Long Beach, California. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.